Father, I thank you and I praise you and I give you honor, I give you glory for everyone that came out of this sanctuary today to sit at your table, to be fed fresh manna from heaven. And Father God, you know each and every person's need here this morning, and I'm asking you right now to meet those needs. I'm asking you, Father God, to heal them from the crown of their heads to the soles of their feet. Reach down through the portals of heaven right now, Father God, and touch the need. There are many needs here this morning. Touch each and every one of them. And Father, I thank you for it. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen. Last Wednesday when I was sitting here, God told me to teach on guilt this morning, right? Because there's so many of God's children feel so guilty about what they did in their past that it's hindering them from moving to their future. And you've got to learn to let go of that guilt and that shame. And you need to just let God be God in your life. There isn't anybody in this room today that has not done something that they wish they had not done. But we can't go back and erase the past. We just can't do that. It's there. It's the past, but it's you've done it, right? And so what you need to do from this moment forward is move on. Just move on. Quit sitting in that pigsty that you're wallowing in about, oh, well, I did this, I did that, and how can you use me? Well, you know what? If you read the Bible, every one of the disciples did something too. But they didn't stay in that pigsty. They moved on with God. They did their thing. They got resurrected, and they went forth and they worked for their Father. So if you're sitting around just using that as an excuse not to serve God, you really don't want to serve God. Because you can get rid of that junk. You don't have to hold on to that stuff. That's not part of you. That was your past. And this is your present. And you just have to move on. Whatever you were into, the enemy's always going to harass you with. He just is. Because that was your weak point. That's when he had you. And so if you think that you're going to walk free of this, you're not. I don't want you to walk in guilt, but if you think that Satan's not going to keep coming and trying to get you back into his territory, he's always going to try to get you back into his territory, always, until the day you go home to be with the Father. So get in your mind this morning that my past is my past, my future is my future, and what I did back there, even the dumb things I might have done just 2 days ago, that's my past. I'm going to forget about all that stuff, and I'm going to move on with God. Now, you have to understand there's always going to be somebody that's going to keep saying, well, look what you did. There's always going to be somebody to hold a grudge or hold unforgiveness. I say they're going to hold unforgiveness against you. You're going to have to get over that, too. You're just going to have to move on. And I know that this is a really bad thing going on right now in the body of Christ. Because about a year ago, I started thinking, everything I ever did in my life started coming before me. And I thought, I don't even think about those things. And then it tried to put condemnation on me. And I didn't do anything to have condemnation, but this is what the enemy does. And I had to really fight and rebuke and, get that enemy under my feet. Or he was getting ready to take me out with that. Now, I didn't do what some of you did, but still in all, what I did, I did. You say things that hurt people. You make bad choices in life. Like staying with a man who said he didn't love me for 45 years. Not living really. And, that was a bad choice. But I can't keep going back and thinking about that. Are you just understanding this? So if you made a wrong decision and you married the wrong person, then you need to seek God's face. And what does God want me to do with this thing? Does he want me to stay here? Because it was my decision to do this. Or does he want me to move on? But whatever you do, don't let it drag you down into the pit. Now, I showed you that picture about that movie about Kenneth Hagin because this is where we're going to. Now, do you want to miss this? Because if you don't let go of that past, if you don't let go of that guilt and that shame, you're never going to get to that. Because the enemy has you bound back in there. And you're never going to do the great, wonderful things that God wants you to do. And God doesn't want you just to have, I'm hearing him say, he just doesn't want you to have a measure of faith. He wants you to have abundant faith in him, knowing that he is well able to bring you out of this mess that you're in. Well, after I was saved, you know, I did some drugs. Well, you know, after a lot of people were saved, they did pornography, they did adultery, they did a whole lot of things. But does that make it right that you stand in your guilt? Get rid of your guilt. So you made a mistake. Get rid of your guilt and move on. Don't give any place to the enemy. Well, I didn't act right in my house. I was a Christian and I act like a fool. Hey, join the club. We've all acted like fools being born again. And so get over that too and move on. Now, God gave me two words for today. One of them's for the Christians and one of them's for the people who sit in the house of God and wouldn't serve God. I'm glad I'm on the first and not one of the last. You know? But if you don't deal with this guilt, you're not going to move one step further. You know, I know dealing with somebody who, because of the words they spoke, bound up their whole family. And they can't seem to rise above that guilt. It's taking them out right now. So why should you allow it to take you out? You need to be strong in the Lord, and if you've asked God to forgive you, He forgave you. Now you have to move on and be a strong tower for those that you hurt. To pray them through. Are you listening? And we can't save everybody. We need to quit trying to save everybody. We can't change everybody's mind. We can't change anybody's mind, to tell you the truth. You know, they have, like God said, they have a brain. They can think. They're making choices all by themselves. It's nothing I'm doing or nothing you're doing. It's what they're doing. Now, you know, what God told me when I first started this church, I'm going to send in pastors for you to train so I can send them out in the field. In my pea brain, I thought He's going to send pastors, literal pastors in here, who were already having churches that were going to, somehow or other, God was going to, you know, change them and use them differently. That's not the truth. God sent me the unsaved. And He told me one time, as I'm like David, you know, everybody joined yourself to David, were some people that nobody else wanted and nobody else could endure and administer to. And God said, you're like David, and I'm sending you the misfits. And I'm going to change them and rearrange them. And I'm going to send them out to minister my gospel. All right. So, you know, so if you, what I'm saying is, if you were a misfit, you're where God wants you. You know, we're all misfits, right? We're all doing dumb things in our life. And so we're just loving each other and we're just encouraging each other and we're going forth. And we're not feeling guilty about anything that we did. I was walking a lot of guilt because I didn't understand the anointing that was upon my life. I didn't know that I had a special anointing and that God placed me in this dispensation of time to bring this anointing forth. And I was full of guilt because I did some dumb things, not knowing I was anointed. Because nobody, any pastor I talked to, they just told me to sit down and be quiet. And so I really didn't know what I was doing. But now, 40 years later, I understand what God called me to do. I understand the anointing. I understand that I was unique. I was peculiar and different. And this is what bothered the pastors. Because I came on the scene of nobody. And God was just using me in every way that His word says He'll use you. So now I was feeling guilty because I felt like I didn't do what I should have done to the capacity that I should have done it because I didn't understand what was going on in my life. And maybe some of you are at that place too. You didn't understand the anointing that was upon your life, so you didn't really do what you think to your fullest of what God wanted you to do. But I have news for you. God told me you're exactly where I want you to be. You're exactly in my timetable. You're doing exactly what I want you to do. And it's really a good thing that I was dumb and didn't know how anointed I was, because maybe pride would have set in, you know. But I'm just out there just walking around just, you know, just saying and doing things because God's working through me. And I think everything's just fine. And people get upset with me. And I say, I wonder why they got all upset with me. Now, see, if I had more intellect about what I was doing, I'd have quit. I really would have quit. So then, see, I had to work through that guilt. I didn't realize I was even working through guilt until I started getting this together. And so how many of you have not missed God? This is the time. God's just been training you for this time and this season. So if you did some dumb things, I'm going to tell you some. A lot of people walk through these doors and they did a lot of dumb things. You know, I couldn't believe some of the dumb things they did. One guy stood up here. Everybody said he was a great, I think, a bishop or something. And he wanted to preach. And I said, sure, I'll let anybody preach. And he stood up here and told me that he saw me naked and I was committing adultery and all kind of junk. And I'm sitting back there saying, what? You know, so he did a dumb thing. You know, I don't know where he's at now, but it doesn't matter. But it depends on what spirit you yield your body to, what you're really going to do. A lot of people came through these doors. They sat under the anointing. They didn't want that anointing at that time. So they left here, and now they're out there just wandering around, getting messed up. But see, God had them under the anointing at one point. So now if they're messing up, what we need to do is pray, God, okay, they sat under that anointing. Now remind them of what happened under that anointing and bring them back full circle round. Don't throw them to the dogs. God brought them here for a purpose. They were touched. And you never, ever lose that touch. Never. I don't care who you are. You never lose that touch. It stays with you. And if you'll just, somebody will just pray for those people, whoever. God, the other day, laid Barbara in my heart, really super heavy. And so I was laying in bed really sick, but I prayed for Barbara. I don't know what she was going through. She might not have been going for anything. Maybe she's going to go through something. But see, I prayed for her. And she's not the only one God does that to me. So we just have to be yielded vessels, doing the thing that God wants us to do. Quit worrying about, am I doing it right or am I doing it wrong? And just do. That's all God's looking for. He's just looking for a vessel that will do. And when you go out there to do, I'm going to tell you right now, he's going to work through you. You know, when I was out on the road doing evangelistic work, I would go to these churches and nothing but pastors, real pastors at other churches would be in those, filling up those pews. And I said, God, I'd be sitting there doing praise and worship, praying, God, these are all pastors. I have nothing to offer them. They've had their churches 30-some years, and I'm just starting. And when I get up there, you know, God would just work through me because I'm his vessel. And those people, those pastors, they cried, they got their lives were changed, their sins were revealed, all kind of things happened, but they were touched by God and they were changed. Say, so don't ever think you don't have anything to offer anybody, because you do. I don't care how long that they've been in the service of the Lord, they might not have been in doing what God wanted them to do all that time. So, you know, and I never went up there saying, God, just use me, show them who they are. I didn't do that because I got up here trembling. God, you know, you're really going to have to move because these are pastors and they're watching me and they're waiting to see what you're going to do through me. And God did mighty works. And I had a good time. And they were my friends after the service. Are you understanding this? So if God has called you, he equips you. And what you have to do is quit trying to sit and figure out what God's trying to do with your life. Just be. Study your word, pray, fast, do whatever you know you're supposed to do. And just exist for God only. You don't have to please anybody else except God. If your husband doesn't understand you, that's okay. If your kids think you're crazy, that's okay too. You know, and if you make a mistake or two, that's all right, but just don't do it more than one time. Learn the first time around. God is good. God is really good. And this is what we're headed into. But are you going to be there? I know you sat in his services. Sat in Jimmy Swagger's services. Sat in other people. I was in services where I just standing there, and all of a sudden, you know, the pastor's up and preaching, and all of a sudden, the woman beside me is puking up green slime. I thought, what's her problem here? You know, I had never seen that before because I was just born again. And, you know, my mother's standing there saying, what is she doing? She's throwing up demons. My mother knew it, but I didn't know it. The pastor came running down there and laid hands on her, and she screamed and convulsed and fell down in her green slime, and she was set free. Nobody did a 2-hour deliverance on her. just sitting under the anointing of God caused those spirits to leap out of her and manifest and leap out of her. So what are you really looking for in your walk with God? God, you know, God's saying he's going to use the young kids. Are you young kids still on fire for God like you were the first time that anointing hit you? Are you still so excited and you want God to use you wherever you go? Then just be. You'll be serving God. You can't serve God in the world both. You can't do that. You have to be totally surrendered to one or the other. And then you just go and you just be. You know, if God isn't speaking to you all the time, then you're not close enough to God. Yeah, I just, you know, like I tell my husband all the different things God tells me. I'm doing really weird things when he starts talking to me. And sometimes when people call me and say, would you pray for me? And I say, well, I'm not hearing it. Well, no, will you pray with me? I'm not hearing anything right now. Just let me seek God's face and I'll get back with you. Because sometimes people tell me too much when they start talking to me. Then I don't know if I'm hearing what you've said. I'm not hearing, don't know if I'm hearing what my mind thinks you want to hear. You know, and so I just give it before God. I say, okay, God, you know, I've got this situation of, and you have to reveal to me what you want to say. And I go about my business, and he'll speak to me at the oddest times. And, you know, and tell me exactly what it is that's going on. This is how close you have to be walking to God. You have to be instant in season and out of season. If you're going to get into what we saw, you know, just like that guy trying to sing that song, you know, those people trying to talk and couldn't talk. This is what we're headed into, but are you going to be a carrier of that? Are you really going to be a carrier of that? Then you have to get out of your guilt. You have to get out of your shame. And you have to move on with God. My father taught me early on when I was a young girl, he said, always keep your integrity. He said, once you lose your integrity, you've lost everything. And he always taught me to be truthful and honest. And he taught me how to live right. And I tried to live that way all my life. You know, and it pays off. It really pays off. For you young girls that think you need to be out there in the streets or laying in a bush somewhere or in a motel room somewhere, that doesn't get you anything but more hell. You haven't missed out on anything. Absolutely nothing have you missed out on, it, you know, if you don't have a boyfriend. Are you listening? What you need to do is get close to God, seek his face, and let him fill you. Then let him use you. What you do need is God, and you don't have God in its fullness. So therefore, you're going to go down the wrong road. And you're going to miss out. Now, wouldn't it be better to do this than be out somewhere shooting up drugs? You know, be out in the woods somewhere with some guy or some girl. And well, maybe you don't enjoy this like I do. But I think this is the most wonderful thing that ever happened. It's God's anointing falling. And I also know this. I also know that the anointing can fall suddenly. And you guys are hard-hearted. Your heart will change. It'll just melt like butter. And all you want is Christ. I know that can that will happen too. And this is what's going to happen when God starts sending the world in. The anointing's going to be that strong. It's going to have to be. Because how are you going to minister to 2,000 people that's messed up? It's going to have to be a move of the Holy Spirit. How are you guys, when you go out on the street, you can't reach everybody in one day, but the Holy Spirit can. The Holy Spirit's telling me, God's telling me that you will leave a residue of the Holy Spirit every place you walk up on those streets. And when the drug addicts and the alcoholics and the prostitutes walk those streets, the residue of the Holy Spirit's going to touch them and it's going to change their lives. And that's the truth from God. All right. But see, the only way that can happen is because they both surrendered herself to the Father. They're both willing vessels for God to work through, right? I'm telling the truth, right? Yeah, I don't know Elaine a lot, but I do know about the other gentleman. He's been through, the church has put him through hell. And, you know, and he's decided he didn't care. He's going to go ahead and work for the Father. See, that's what you have to do. The church will put you through hell. But you have to have the mindset, I don't care what the church puts me through. I just want to be a child of God, and I want to be used by God. I want to be a vessel that makes a difference in the world. That song we sing, when they look at you, like David, Chris Tomlin's song, he sings about David. When they look at you, do they see Christ? Or who do they see? All right. Now, a lot of you in here, you've had marriage problems, and you're working through them. That was all to get you off course so that you wouldn't do the things that God wants you to do. He was trying to get you to get a divorce. He was trying to get you to give God a bad name. But you stuck the course. You stayed the course. And maybe you're not through it yet. But you will get through it. And you will forget about the past sins. And you'll move on. Nobody should ever have to endure an adulterous situation in your marriage. Nobody should. But we know that's what goes on nowadays. I do not condone it. I've had enough of that in my lifetime. I do not condone it because it brings nothing but pain, heartache, and tears. And, you know, the man or woman that's doing it is selfish and self-centered, and they aren't thinking about the after effect. All they're thinking of is spur of the moment. And then when they realize, oh, my God, look what I've done, then the guilt and the shame steps in there. Then the enemy has you on a treadmill that if you don't deal with the guilt and the shame, you won't ever get off that treadmill, and you'll never be any good for God. This is your day that God wants you to be set free. This is the beginning of December. We're celebrating Christ. And what God wants us to be is totally and completely free this December. Because from what I've been hearing everybody saying, January is going to start the ball rolling of the Holy Spirit. And the glory is going to come. And God's trying to get us now to get all this junk out of our life before we go into a new year, because we cannot take this junk into the new year if we plan on being used by God. God wants you to take everything that everybody's done to you, and He wants you to set it on the altar and have God burn it up. All your guilt, all your shame, everything else, is, you know, whatever it is, God wants you to put it on the altar and say, God, burn it. I never want to feel it. I never want to see it ever again. I'm finished with that lifestyle, and I just want to move on with you. Now, I have this here message all together. I put two messages together about guilt, and I said to Larry, I don't know why, but I just don't feel comfortable with either one, and now I know why. I'm not going to use it. Because God is doing what He wants to do. He wanted me to get it together so I knew what I was talking about. But you sitting in here, if you're under guilt, God wants you right now, as you're sitting in your chair, give that guilt to Him right now. He doesn't want you to hold on to it one second longer. You know, ladies, if you're here and you're hurting deep inside because your husband hasn't been everything you want him to be, I'm standing before you to let you know that I've been married, and they've committed adultery on me all the time. But I stayed the course with God. I did what God wanted me to do. And I'm standing before you today, a free woman, knowing that I did everything that God's told me to do. Now, see, I don't have to walk with that guilt and shame of what I did to hurt other people. But the person that did that stuff, now they have to work through the guilt and the shame of all the pain they caused their children, their wives, their husbands. But you're free. You're free. So you don't sit there and say, you bastard, you need to go to hell. You need to say, God, thank you that I'm not walking in their shoes. Thank you, God, for your grace and your mercy that's kept me out of that sin. And it's kept me pure. That's not the way it works, though, is it? Whenever I said that word, that's what God said. We want them to pay. But you know who's really paying the price? It's you. Because of your bitterness and your unforgiveness. If God tells you to stay the course, and stay the course, but do it with joy and thanksgiving. don't do it begrudgingly because you're not glorifying God at all. Do it with joy and thanksgiving. And watch and see what God will do to your family. He will strengthen your family. He will straighten your family out. He will bring all the loose ends together. And you will see him move mightily in your midst.